If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Why aren't you eating right? Because eating right is hard? Because it isn't. Kevin Hart fixed it 4 damn years ago with The One. The One is Vita Hustle's game-changing meal-replacing super shake. Inspired by Kevin Hart's passion and belief that we all have the right to eat right. Kevin Hart is referring to himself in the third person because he's fired up. Because The One just passed 5 million super shakes sold. 5 million. Just a quick gut-healthy glass of The One gives you all the proteins, all the greens, and all the vitamins and more. One shake, no chaos. Listeners get 20% off their first purchase at VitaHustle.com. Go to VitaHustle.com. That's VitaHustle.com.
Have you ever wanted to make your own Super Bowl commercial? This year, Uber Eats is putting their commercial in your hands and letting you build your own version right in the Uber Eats app. It's kind of like building a burrito bowl. You pick your scenes like ingredients, pick the celebrities you want to see, and watch your commercial come to life. Plus, you can even unlock a deal. There are over 1,000 variations to make. Give it a try. Just open the Uber Eats app, tap the football icon, and make yours now. Promotions while supplies last.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have Courtney, who is one half of Two Judgy Girls, a super successful podcast with a huge accompanying Instagram page. And Courtney and I have gotten to know each other well in the past year or so, and we got to hang out for the first time in person at BravoCon. And she just has the best energy, and she lets her opinions fly, which I absolutely love about her. We talked about Traitors, Beverly Hills, Southern Charm, you know, what you've come to expect on these Tuesday episodes during this time with such a crowded Bravo slate. And it was a super fun conversation. I know you'll enjoy it. Before we get to that, I mean, I do have to just call attention to the fact that the filming for Ultimate Girls Trip, the Roaring Twenties season, has really been getting me through life. I mean, it looks like they're having so much fun. Production seems to be going all out for these parties in different cities, and they're really bringing out like everyone imaginable. I mean, it just came out today that Alex McCord is finally making her long-awaited return to Bravo, apparently for the finale party, which I think is going to be at Dorinda's Berkshire's house, Bluestone Manor. So that is extremely exciting. So we thought we were going to get that with season 4 of Ultimate Girls Trip. Obviously, that never happened. So, I mean, they're really bringing out the big guns. They're really bringing out the OGs. And, you know, I normally get annoyed by getting so much content and so many updates from filming, but this time I don't really care. It would have been kind of too hard to keep all this under wraps. So I think at this point they seem to be just leaning into posting a lot of pictures, but we're not getting that much firsthand footage, which I think is really great. Like, I cannot wait to watch all these interactions on this show whenever it comes out. I mean, again, they are pulling out all the stops. I'm so impressed by this. When we heard that they're going to be around 60 housewives on this show, it was hard to imagine what that looked like. And, you know, every time somebody posts another photo dump for one of these parties, it's like another new person pops up that I didn't know was there. And so it's really exciting. And this just feels like the culmination. I mean, it is the culmination. It's the culmination of 20 years of Real Housewives. And it's going to be really special and really fun. And of course, seeing Nene back, I mean, it's hard not to feel some type of way about that. The world is back on its axis. Seeing her with Kim and Phaedra and Marlo and Portia and Lisa Wu and Cynthia dressed as 50 Cent, like, I mean, that's just how it's meant to be. And it also just made me want her to rejoin Atlanta that much more than I already did. She looks fantastic. She looks happy. And God, like, what? Like, Nene's back on Bravo? Like, I can't fathom, but you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, that video of Phaedra, Nene, and Portia saying bling, 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 bitches is mad. I tweeted this, but I've watched that 1,000 times since they posted over the weekend. Like, it's, I am living for this. And I am wondering how they're getting around. Andy has not said, as far as I know, on his radio show, despite his co-host John Arthur Hill wanting to know how they're getting around. For some reason, I either thought that somebody said they would be in an RV or I just assumed that. But there's no way, because they got from Orange County to Atlanta way too quickly for that. And then now they're in Miami. And I saw some video of them playing a snatch that wig game with Alexia and Marisol on the beach. I mean, that is a sentence that I truly loved saying. And I'm glad that our Miami girls are getting their moment with the show, despite, you know, having no representation on the main cast, because they deserve that. And I still don't really fully know why they don't have representation on the main cast. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I say they're having so much fun, and it does seem like that. But it also does seem like Portia and Vicky had some sort of blow up during that first stop in Orange County, because Portia posted that cryptic thing on her grid about, like, you know, how, you know, whoever she's feuding with calls people to handle things for them, but people call Portia to handle things for them. And I think because it was about calling, people kind of assumed it was about Lisa Barlow, because, you know, she calls her lawyers. She called that guy to go the distance for her. But it's apparently about Vicky, because they unfollow each other. And you know what? That is a feud that I can sign up for. That feels right. So I could not be more excited for the show. It is truly what dreams are made of. And I feel like we're getting a preview in real time, which is just fantastic. And the other thing I have to mention up here, since Friday's episode will be a end of season deep dive for The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and we won't be doing a deep dive on this week's episode of Potomac as a result. For what it's worth, I think the Colorado trip may have been a complete mess, but it was also fantastic television in my eyes. I mean, I was laughing every single episode. The women's frustrations with everything going wrong and the editing, it was just all hilarious and totally entertaining to me. And of course, there were moments at the very end when Angel was crying, like, where I did feel badly for her, of course. Like, it's kind of impossible not to at some of those points. Like, I don't know. I also felt bad for the people who work for her. They seem lovely. And they planned this whole beautiful looking lunch, and they were cooking when they got the call that nobody was coming. And God, it was just a little tragic. But also, like, Angel fucked up and she was in over her head. And I do believe production is probably to blame for some of it, but nowhere close to all of it. I mean, there were some truly bizarre choices that were made at every single step of the way by Angel. And, you know, the women let her hear it, but at some point, I think she kind of deserved it. And I mean, they spent most of that trip in the car. And to be honest, like, I love a car conversation on Housewives. I love a little argument in a car. I mean, the Jazzy, Stacey, Wendy situation in this week's episode, that was a great argument. Like, I thought that was real. I thought that might not have come up if they weren't trapped in a car for 3 hours, not going to a fly fishing event. Like, I don't know. I was living for it. And the fact that after all of that, after this entire trip, they finally got to their Four Seasons. But no, we have to get one more little fly fishing excursion out of the way 1 hour before their flight. They end the season at a gas station in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you could not write this shit. And yes, I'm a little annoyed that the end of the season is once again on a trip. And I feel like this is now happening on almost every franchise. And it doesn't seem to be a trend that's going away. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's happening more often. But, you know, it is what it is. I do hope they bring back the finale rap parties soon. But ending at a gas station again with a storm out. It's like, Stacey, where are you going? Stacey, where were you running off to? You were calling an Uber to come get you in that at that gas station. That was going to take 5 hours for that Uber to get to you, first off. I mean, and then that Wendy title card, you guys. I saw somebody put up a side-by-side of Wendy's first season title card and her this season title card. And the difference is just, I mean, it's kind of crazy. That hit like a ton of bricks, honestly. And, you know, of course, the episode ended with the Karen footage, Karen leaving jail. Again, I got the total chills watching that. I mean, that outfit, I saw, they put out like the first 5 minutes of episodes sometimes a week in advance. And I saw that on Twitter. And it's her, you know, leaving prison and then going to her house to see Raven and Ray and her sister. And she explains in that first few minutes of next week's episode that she had those braids in her hair because her fellow prisoners took the braids out of their own hair and sewed them into her hair to make sure that she looked good for the cameras when she left. I mean, if that's not the sweetest thing, I mean, that just speaks to also the relationship that Karen cultivated with her fellow inmates. And like, it reminds me of when Martha Stewart left prison and she was in that crocheted wrap that one of her inmates had made for her. And I think she ended up wearing it on TV in some big appearance and to like promote this woman's business or something. But anyway, like I just found that to be a really sweet detail that Karen revealed. But anyway, next week is the actual finale and it's Andy's sit down with Karen. I'm really excited to see him ask her all the tough questions that we want her to answer. And I hope that we see a version of Karen who is truly and genuinely sorry. She has looked inward. She's willing to admit her mistakes and any problems that she has with drinking. And I hope that she shows remorse and I hope that she shows an intention that she wants to proceed forward in a more positive way. And I do believe that we'll get that. I really do. Because, you know, I, every time I post about Karen, I always get a response. It's like, why are we glorifying DUIs? Why? You know what? I am willing to hear her out. I'm willing to see her show contrition. And I really hope we get that. And, you know, there's no indication in the teaser yet that there is going to be the Osefo pickup footage from after their arrest. But that was teased in the mid-season trailer. So I expect that to be there, but it's interesting they're not really teasing that or promoting that because I feel like people would watch for that as well. But who knows? I mean, I know that Karen was released from prison like basically a month before Wendy and Andy got arrested, but I guess I don't know exactly when the Andy sit-down was, but I would presume that it's going to be, you know, 55 minutes of a sit-down plus 5 minutes of that footage, but I don't know. I have not seen the episode. But yeah, that is all for now. Keep listening.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
For my chat with Courtney from Two Judgy Girls, check out her podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabby with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. Oh yeah, and fuck ice. I want to gab. All right, today we are gabbing with Courtney from Two Judgy Girls. You know her, you love her. She's been on the show before, and we have a lot to talk about these days when it comes to Bravo. So I need some of the best in the biz. Courtney, happy Friday. How are you?
I am great. I was joking when I was talking with Mary earlier, and we're like, you know, everybody really took the holidays off, and then they just decided this week to unload celeb drama, Bravo drama, traitors drama, like across the board. And I'm like, I mean, thank you.
Thank you. And also, like, I'm in New York where we're about to get like 12 inches of snow, apparently. So, like, and it's going to be 6 degrees or something. So I'm like, you know what? I'm happy to be fed indoors with
yeah.
stuff to do. So.
What is like your top of mind of things right now?
I mean, I really like the Beckham drama. I'm like into it. Team Posh for life.
Oh no, I've said I'm 51% Brooklyn.
Wow. Why? Can you tell me why?
I think Nicola and her family are monsters, so this is like purely Brooklyn, but I do think that there is the branding of Beckham and that they did hold money over and like over them and for like a means of control in a way. And so he's kind of traded one monster in for another. But I do feel that there's some back and forth there and like his feelings are valid.
I think so, too. And I believe that aspect of it for sure. But then there's like some of the details of the statement where like the thing about the dress where like she actually, you know, they said that she left her high and dry about the dress, but they had actually been doing a custom dress with another designer for like a year and it wasn't.
But don't you think she had multiple looks?
Yeah,
so maybe
I'm sure.
It was one of the looks I'm that sure. she left her high and dry.
But he made it sound like it was her main wedding dress. And then also it wasn't actually their first dance that Victoria crashed. It was like another dance like later into the night. So like there are little things I'm just like, I don't know.
Mark Anthony's a monster too. Let's blame him.
Listen, let's put it all on him. Yeah.
Did you see the DJ came out and talked today?
I did see the DJ. Also, it's like this guy's like, yeah, I've worked so many parties for the Beckhams. Here's the tea. And it's like, well, you're working no more parties for them anymore, babe.
Yeah.
So.
I was like, was that NDA up? Or like, why are we chit-chatting through? Give us every detail.
No, beyond. I would love every detail. I need the footage. I don't know if we'll ever get it. It's just another, add it to the list of footage we need.
Have you seen that meme that's like kind of going around? It'll be like, what would you rather of like footage released here or like footage released here? Like the Meredith plane drama or like Kathy Hilton at the Canopy Club or whatever it is. You know, let's rank
Meredith plane, Kathy and Aspen and Black Eye.
Oh, you know, I don't care for Heather anymore. I'm putting that last.
Okay.
I think it's Kathy, Meredith, Heather. What about you?
I think that's correct. I think that's the correct order.
I'm not I just don't care about the plane anymore because there's been 85 stories. Everyone was sleeping. Now they're awake. The plane was nosediving. We're crashing at this point and Meredith is going off. Like there's so many different stories. And I'm like, if it's not on footage, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't want to get too much into Salt Lake, but I am curious because like I was watching that and I'm like, wait a second. Wasn't the whole story that she was doing it from the time they stepped onto the plane until the time they landed? And even in the airports. And now it's that, oh, it was actually only really bad, like when the plane was, you know, landing, so we couldn't switch with Britney. I just feel like they're changing the story when it benefits.
Exactly. And if there's even if their story is correct and they're maybe getting a few, they're losing credibility every time they change one detail. And that's why I think I side over with Meredith because she's like, I'm not denying anything happened, but let's be real. You like all these different details are happening. So what's the true story?
Right. So I want to ask your thoughts on the Kyle and Amanda of it all, because I didn't have anybody to talk to about that. I had a little solo moment about that. Where are you? Did you see the little man on the street video that he did, which was, I'm like, this is what we're choosing to.
What was that?
Why was that the avenue we're choosing to speak about? Because those aren't random.
Right. And this is not a knock on the person who did the interview.
No, of course
not. Who is that
person?
Good
for him.
Was that seemed like kind of a setup in a way. So I was confused on why this was the interview he wanted to give. I think he's trying to get ahead of the season and say things. I'd mentioned this on our podcast, but him, Kyle saying, you know, I did things, she did things. What did Amanda do? She cheat on you? Like, what did Amanda do? Because the things that you've done, I think, are much worse than anything Amanda's done. So I side with Amanda.
Yeah, I was just... just the avenue of it. I was just so confused. And like, I did... My thing was that, like, it felt like they were holding it for the show. You know, it felt like they were holding it to reveal it on the show. But then I've said this, but like, that just didn't really feel like them because they've never really operated that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It felt like kind of too housewivesy for them in a way. So I kind of do believe that like they weren't holding it for that and they just weren't ready. But I don't know. There was something off about that whole video. There was.
I mean, I will give him this though. His skin looks fabulous.
Really good. Whatever Kyle's doing in the past 2 years, I know.
Like literally, and you know what he'll say? Oh, I just throw water on my face, which is rude. But I just was very confused by that video. The breakup for me is... It's sad. It's expected, but sad. And you kind of are just like, I don't want this to happen. Obviously, if this is what they want, then great. We want, you know, team amicable at the end of the day, though I side more 51% Amanda, if you will. But I'll go higher on that.
This is the year of 51% for Courtney.
Literally. Okay. So I just, you know, I just feel sad because like we've watched literally their relationship from like basically almost inception to the end of it. But I also am like so happy for her because we've watched all these men on Bravo kind of get away with bad behavior. And then finally, even if it feels too late in a way, these women are standing up for themselves. And I feel like it's just like women empowerment. And I'm excited for her next era because I think that Amanda's going to thrive.
It's this funny thing on Summer House where it's like, you know, first it was Lindsay and Carl, or then it was Sierra and Wes, and then it was Paige and Craig. And now it's sort of the biggest of them all because it was sort of the longest one coming, which is Amanda and Kyle.
And more stakes, if you will, with marriage.
Way more
right?
stakes, way more stakes. And they were always the central couple of the show. They always got the primary bedroom. And
except that one season.
Except for that one season. But you said like it feels too late. And like, yeah, there's like if you think about like the relationship itself, absolutely. But when it comes to like sort of poetic timing of like Summer House is in its 10th season and they got together in season one, essentially. And now we're getting into the spinoff. And like, it's actually maybe a perfect launching point for her to be on this new show. She doesn't have to be stuck in a share house with him anymore. It's kind of perfect.
I also was thinking too, is like, depending on how In the City does, because Mary and I are trying to figure out where in the timeline of these shows too have they kind of separated. Did they wait till In the City? We're obviously going to see a lot of drama with Kyle in Summer House. I assume that will go into In the City. And I'm thinking Kyle could go back to the Summer House next season. Like Amanda could stay on this In the City. Kyle could go back to Summer House, so they don't even have to like cross over there.
Right.
I'm curious. And I also am like, I need to know if she's talked to any of the Vanderpump girls. Like, I would love to know if she's talked to Ariana or like...
Courtney, we need an ultimate girls trip with the non-housewives. I've been saying this for 3 fucking years and it's just such a layup. Especially on every show, we've seen this, like, the women emerging as the fuel.
100%. Exactly.
And, yeah.
I would love that. I mean, you could get the Southern Charm girls. You could get Summer House. You could get Vanderpump Rules. Like, there is, and throw them for 2 weeks. I feel like Paige would come back for a 2 week thing, too.
Totally. Like, and I feel like they could get, like, Naomi back. I feel like they could convince Cam to do it. Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, come on.
Yes. I think that that's a missed opportunity to not do that because it's right there.
It's right there.
It's right there.
All right, let's talk traitors, because this is the first time we've gotten one episode, which I'm happy with. The 2 and 3 words a lot to get through without being spoiled, you know, like on time. You know, I felt pressure.
Yes, yes. And especially like live threading, like there's so many people on Threads. And I keep telling people, if you're not on Threads, you need to go be on Threads because it's so fun to like live
thread.
Very
active. Yeah.
But last night I had to pause it like 15 times. I swear my dog was like wanted to just go hang out outside. I don't know. So by the time I got back, I'm like, oh my God, I think I already know things that are happening because I can't refresh this feed. It's like, if you're not watching it on time, you got to stay off social.
Yeah, well, you know what I do? I stay on my profile for the duration of the episode and post from there. And then I go and look at what people are saying. Because I am like...
You're so smart with social, though. Like, I've told you this. Like, I am very impressed by how you get your social done and the way that you have screen grabs and, like, your calendar everything. I need tips. I'm not smart like that.
I'm happy to share any tips that you want. We found out nobody got murdered because of nobody took the shield or whatever.
Do you think, though, that they should have told the traitors that? I feel like the traitors should have had decided.
I completely agree. I was surprised that Alan, like, gave them the heads up, basically.
Yeah, like, right? I was like, tell them that they either don't have to murder anyone because they think nobody took shields, or they can go ahead and murder someone thinking someone took a shield. If that person got murdered, they get the envelope and they get to say, by the way, nobody took a shield, so you're actually safe.
Yes. It was almost like, it almost felt like kid gloves with the traitors in that moment. Like, why are we telling them this?
Yeah.
But I feel like one of my big takeaways from this episode is that, like, we finally got some, like, housewivesian activity from Dorinda and Rinna. And that was sort of, it came out. It was breadcrumb from last week where it was like, wait a second. Rinna's being quiet at the round tables, but really loud at breakfast. Dorinda's not really being that locked in. And she still kind of has a ways to go. But I'm glad we're finally getting this, even if it takes Colton Underwood to get it out of Rinna.
Like, you don't want to give him credit because, but I also am like, okay, you know, you got a reaction at least. But I've said this too, is like, and I think this goes with Ron, and I think this goes with a lot of people, is that the people that we see on TV, like, we always joke when we watch these reality shows that these are characters we're watching, right? Like, they're like exaggerated versions of them.
Right.
So then they come into this and it's hard to be on all of these hours, and you expect that you're going to meet somebody and they're the way you see them on TV, and yet they're completely different, and that throws the strategy off because you're like, no, that's not what I think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how close are Lisa Rinna and Dorinda really?
Right, totally. It's, I mean, that's kind of like when people say like, Ron's a comedian but he's not being funny, and it's like, well, actually the big thing that people always say about comedians is that they're pretty shy in person, generally speaking. Like, they turn it on when they're on stage and doing their bits, but comedians tend to not be that way in their everyday
pretty
lives.
Introverted in a way, actually.
Right.
Like,
right. I think it's like, it's almost like a response to being that way. That, yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, but the Colton and Rinna thing, what did you think of him, like the strategy of him having a one-on-one sit down with her and being like, I know you're a traitor, let's go to the end together, essentially. Like, what was he trying to do with that?
I mean, obviously he wanted to like suss her out and see if he could like read a facial expression of her cracking of some sort. But it's like, if anybody's played this game before, you know, traitors and faithfuls can't win together.
Mm-hmm.
I think from that, though, I am so surprised that Rinna didn't turn around and utilize that information at the roundtable to save herself.
And what would that have looked like to you?
I think Rinna should have been like, by the way, like, as soon as people started saying Colton, which like Kristen kind of kicked it off, if I were Rinna and like my name's being thrown out there, I'd be like, by the way, I just want to throw this out there that Colton was willing to throw all the faithfuls under the bus because he thinks I'm a traitor and said that I would protect him in the turret. He would protect me here. But as a faithful, I don't even know why that would happen. We know we can't win together. Like, I think that's such a traitor move to do, especially if he thinks I'm a traitor and we'll go to the end together. Like, she should have just turned it on him because there was a lot of doubt being cast on him.
Totally.
But not enough.
Yeah, totally. And
what did you think?
It's funny because he is right about her. That's the thing. It's like, it's the frustrating thing when like the person you don't like is right about the person that you do like, you know, and you don't want them to be able to follow through with it. But my thought is like, I think it was a little short-sighted on his part, but also she had been tipped off by Candace that he was onto her already, and she wasn't prepared at all. I was like shocked. Like, she knew that Colton had his eyes on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, it's, and also at the round table, it felt like she was unprepared too. She was just sort of like, I am not a traitor. I'm a faithful. She didn't really have anything to like spin back on him. And you're right.
Yeah.
She could have used the conversation and she didn't. So it's like, he hasn't been playing the best game, but at least in this episode, like, he did bring evidence against her. Like, whereas she couldn't.
Well, it's like a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Like, he's stuck his finger out so much.
I was just more shocked at how unprepared she was. And like, in Housewives world, I always think about her as being pretty quick and like pretty reactive and great in those moments. She's not that great at those moments in terms of the game. You know,
she's not on her toes. Like, the Caroline interaction from last week was like iconic, right?
Totally.
Like, I love that. But then it was like when she came into breakfast, she's like, well, hold on, let me have some tea so I can like gather my story, even though she had all of the facts, right? She was there. So it wasn't like she even had to make anything up. So yeah, it's frustrating that Colton is on to her. And I said last week too, I think she's going to be the first traitor to go. It seems kind of like her time is lingering and like she's going to be going. And I think, and I don't want to admit it because I'm upset with Rob that he did it, but I understand why he had to write her name down.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you on the Rinna front because I was worried it was going to be Candace.
Me too.
I think that Candace has pulled back in a smart way for like the sort of middle. She's being a little quieter than she was being at the beginning, which I think is good for her. And they're kind of positioning Rob as being like the most savvy, smart sort of go-getter traitor. And like he's getting a really good edit, I think. Like he's coming across really smart. He, you know, you knew he was going to vote for Rinna in terms of how they edited that round table. Like they showed him so nervous to reveal it and whatever. But I think, I feel like I'm torn between him turning on the other traitors too early or it being the perfect moment to do so.
It depends because, okay, I think what he needed to do was get Candace on board before because it actually helps her game too if Rinna were to go. Nobody's going to suspect that there's two housewives, right? So like if Rinna were to get eliminated, that saves Candace a lot, I think, especially because Portia's gone and then Caroline's gone. And then Dorinda's probably going to touch that brooch because she loves a shiny object. So like she's probably going to be gone. So at that point, it's like you've got rid of the housewives, right? So if she had gone, Rob would have been fine. I also think he was smart, though, because he's like, OK, but I have to play this game as if I'm a faithful. Right. If I wrote down Colton's name, who's my quote unquote strongest ally, that's going to bring up things. If I write down Ron, who I'm like, have this bond with over play, like they, you know, they've kind of had this bond together, that doesn't feel right either. And so putting it on Rinna, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't, but I can talk my way out of it.
Yeah, it was one of those roundtables where there were actually it wasn't between two people, it was between three people. And yeah, the way you just mapped it out is like he really only had that. That was the choice that made sense for him individually. And I think that like last week I had somebody on and we were talking about how we like how they haven't turned on each other yet, because last year there was so much infighting on the traitors or in the turret.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately you have to play an individual game and you can use your fellow traitors. But at a certain point, like you kind of have to turn on them. And so
I would love to ask you, because I saw that you went to kind of like an experiential the other week for traders.
Yes.
How close are you to the person next to you? Like, for instance, right, Mark went last. Could Rob see that Mark wrote down Ron and be like, well, I can write down Lisa because then those two cancel each other out kind of thing? Like, how much are we able to see what the other person has written down?
I wasn't looking because I wasn't trying to be suspicious and also like,
You're not a cheater. Okay.
I wasn't trying. No, I was really tempted. I was like, do I do this with my eyes? Like look out of the corner. I didn't want to be caught. But you definitely could. You definitely could.
Yeah, okay. So I'm wondering if maybe he saw that and was like, okay, so like the crew, like Johnny's fateful eight, if you will, are going for like that alliance is actually so smart, except for the fact that they weren't all tied together. And I was wishing that they could have come to a conclusion on it of like who they were voting for. But it was like they said Colton. Once Rob pushed back on Colton, they should have just said, OK, now we're all going Ron. Then let's just we know that Ron's not. But then Ron gives kind of a compliment to everyone around the circle. And you're like, OK, a traitor wouldn't do that. Like Ron's just a nice guy. Like I'm changing my decision right away. And then it's like, okay, well, now where do we put it? So there was no like cohesion there that that alliance that should be really smart already is done.
It could be done, but I also wonder if they can
save it,
right the ship, and like
they
next
could because they
table.
Got rid of they ended up getting rid of Ron, right? So like their numbers of eight is still there. They just have to be smart about who they're choosing, and they just have to understand of like why we're doing this. And Rob, you might just have to turn. I mean, at this point, it's like, just turn on Colton so we don't have to watch him anymore.
I know. And like, he's not always good at it, but he is on to somebody, you know, accurately. I did love, you know, Ron went out with making one of the better points we've had made at a round table, which was like, he was like, okay, so we didn't like Michael, so it doesn't really matter who pointed the finger towards him, even though he was a faithful. But we love Portia. And because I was the one that you know, you just steered that ship. We're still mad at me. We're still on me. I thought that was such a good comparison for him to make. And it just speaks to, for me, like, it speaks to the social game of it all. And like, I think that's sort of what Dorinda's getting at with Ron, which is that like part of like any of these situations is trying to get to know people. And I understand his perspective of like, this is a game. I don't really care about your personal life or your family. But from Dorinda's perspective, I also understand it, which is like,
but all these games are social, right?
One way to suss people out is to get to know them.
Yeah.
And also, obviously Housewives is like a social game in and of itself.
Survivor is too. Like if you're liked by the jury, you can win by not even doing big moves, but because you were super likable. All of these competition shows have an angle of social games. And like Ron's not wrong when he says, I don't want to get to know you because I don't want to create bias. Like that makes sense. But at the same time, I need to get to know you because I need you on my side. I need alliances. I need people to protect me. And so he's like faulting in that situation. But I will tell you, I threaded, I like sent this to you. So I threaded last night and I was like, I forgot exactly what I said, but I basically was like, I can't believe Candace is going so hard at Ron because obviously she's a traitor, like, and she's going so hard. And this created like a lot of drama on it where I woke up and I was like, oops, shouldn't have said that maybe. But what I meant by it was like, Candace is a traitor. Obviously, she knows who the other traitors are. And if everyone wants to go for Ron, that's fine. But to me, it looks like she's leading the charge on Ron. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't need to change her vote because that shows very much like, here's where my angle is. I'm still going. But the same thing that's happening to Ron. And then when he makes that point about Colton is the person who's pointing the finger is the one who gets the blame on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, with Candace, is like, if you're pushing for Ron and you're continuing to lead that charge, it's going to come back to you of like, well, why did Candace think it was Ron so much considering
for
he's
five
faithful?
Nights. Right.
Yes. And so people were like, well, she wasn't rude. And I was like, I didn't say she was rude. I'm saying she's just coming on really hard that Steven, who's voted for Ron every single vote, you don't hear from him about why he's voting for Ron. Now, granted, the edit's different because Candace is a traitor and she's a quote unquote main character. So it could be in the edit. But to me, I'm like, if I'm a traitor and somebody else wants to go for Ron, cool, I'll let you take the lead.
Right. And Ron responded to your post. What did he say in response?
Well, he said he was like, you know what? She was consistent and she got these dum-dums to do a conga line. So like more power to her. And I was like, he's not wrong.
No.
I just was like, I felt like she was the number one person for Ron as opposed to being like, well, I'll be number two for Ron.
Yes. Like I'll go with the group and say, yeah, totally. I totally understand what you're saying there.
Yeah. Because she's playing a great game. She really is. She's trusted by the faithful. She and Rob are both in that fateful eight. I don't know why I'm calling them that. That's just what I'm going with. But like, they're in that crew. Like, Lisa is the one that's just why I just think she will go next is because she's the one that's kind of iffy. Like, she doesn't, you know, she's got more doubt cast on her than the others. And so it's like, she's playing a great game, but I just think that she also should maybe just take a back seat. Let somebody else just be able to take the blame on it.
Right. I almost think that... Now that I'm thinking about it deeper, I'm like, is Lisa Rinna one of those people on this show who like they all kind of like know as a traitor, but they just like know they
she's
can
like
get her
Phaedra.
Out at some point? Yeah, kind of. Like it kind of almost feels that way. And I feel like last year it was either Carolyn or Danielle. I feel like who they thought that about. But it's like I understand just being like, all right, we have to
be Danielle and her reaction.
We've been talking about Ron for five nights. Like we have to finally just like figure it out once and for all.
Yes.
But I feel like Rinna. Her days are numbered.
Well, and it's funny, too, because they play that meta game with it, right? Of like, well, why would they choose X person? Why would they, like, from a production standpoint, right? Like, of course, they're going to choose someone from this group. They're going to choose someone from this group. And so you have to play that in your mind, too, where they're like, well, if they were going to choose a housewife, Dorinda would be too easy because she was murdered night one. But is it too easy that it's right in front of our face and it would make sense? Or like, Lisa Rinna is probably the biggest housewife name. Why wouldn't they choose her? You know, you probably have to like play this game over and over.
Somebody said that at the round table this week. I feel like they kind of said that about Rinna. They were like, you'd be a perfect choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably was Colton.
What's going to happen with the brooch? I feel like if I'm a traitor and I get presented with that, because this is a hard one, I think.
And it's like,
really
obviously
is.
Rob's not going to wear it. So it
obviously,
was one of the women.
It's one of the women, which is like kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would go in not with a person in mind, but just with like a move in mind, you know, like a physical, like, hey, like touch it.
Well, I want Rinna to trip and fall onto Colton. And so then he accidentally touches the brooch and then he's out.
Like, she just throws it in his face.
Literally just accidentally trips right onto him and oops, he's gone. But I think Parvati, she did that with like the wine glass, right? It was like she didn't have a specific person. It was like whoever she could give it to.
You're right.
That was who she was going to take out. And unfortunately, if it was someone she liked, it was. But like, yeah, I don't think a specific person. I think it's what makes most sense to be as under the radar as possible.
Wow.
It looks like drama, though. They've been talking about this banquet table for a while, and I thought it was going to be last night's episode, but it looks like next week, but drama.
We're halfway through already, which is kind of crazy. I'm sad.
How can we only have one season a year?
I know. Well, they're going to have the normies one probably in the fall, so.
Fine, and I love that because we'll get new people. But
I know, but we want, no.
We have so many people on our list. I feel like everyone has like a list of who they would bring in.
100
and it's
people.
Like, you literally could throw anybody in there. We'd be like, oh my God.
Yes. My biggest ask is just a Salt Lake City housewife. I don't really care who it is. I just like, I know their filming schedule always conflicts with it, but I really, I need that to happen.
Who, but you, okay, see, I think like Salt Lake City would be great, but I feel like it could only be like, I think people think Mary Cosby would like be really funny in it, but I don't think she would be that funny because she doesn't know, when she doesn't know her
surroundings. I think
like,
she'd be more reserved. I think you're right.
Yeah. Like she'd probably maybe play like more of like, I felt like when Sheree was in there, you were expecting all this stuff from Sheree and she was really just kind of quiet and like trying to figure things out. Like Teresa Giudice would be hilarious in.
She would be
just
a
because
lot.
She wouldn't know what was going on.
Yes,
you know, but that's not Salt Lake, so I don't know why I went with her automatically.
It's okay.
But I feel like Meredith would be a great choice.
Meredith would lawyer up. She would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't love her, but I think Heather would also be because I think Heather's really friendly with all the
and
housewives.
She'd
so
be
she
likable.
She would be good and. I'm not a Heather fan, but I think she would be really good at bringing the Housewife Alliance together and like sticking together.
Mm.
So I could see that.
Okay. The Faithful Eight, but it's just Housewives. Okay.
I mean, wouldn't it be actually kind of funny to have like a season of like all Bravo people?
Oh, I mean, from your lips to God's ears. Come on. Let's do
I always
it.
Think that they should do Housewives on a like former Housewives on Survivor, and then the winner gets to come back to their season.
Wow.
Because like imagine what that would be. It really would be Lord of the Flies.
Which.
But like that would be fun.
Literally. Yes. Any format. I mean, that's sort of how the Bluestone Manor season of Ultimate Girls Trip felt. It felt like they were all competing to get spots. That's kind of
exactly.
how it felt. So
exactly. So like no. But then knowing it would actually happen.
Wow. Yeah, that's the prize. Okay, let's go over to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay. Tough episode this week.
Yeah, we all know that it's been kind of a slow build, to say it nicely, for this season. And ahead of the last night's episode, Andy was like, he said it's like a doozy, or he said it's like a big episode or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, after watching it, you could call it that because of like what happened at the end, but not in the way that I wanted it to be a doozy.
Yeah, it was really... That was Dorit. Shut up.
I know.
Just shut up, Dorit. Like, Amanda is obviously, I personally, I don't like her. I love Amanda on the show, though. Like, I don't like her as a person, but I think she's breaking.
Can you make the case?
I think she's getting under these women's skin so badly that it's actually riling them up and watching them try to navigate somebody who's like so kind of self-unaware, but also has a level of delusion and confidence is real. Like, they don't know how to handle it. And so it's making it fun for me to watch how they're going to handle her this week.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, learning about Zion and all of that was like terrible last night. And I felt so horrible for her and the situation of it all. And I really wish that someone would have sent a text before the party and just kind of given her the night off because she's already going to get it from, you know, she's getting it from Dorit in
knew.
That situation.
Yeah.
You think they knew?
No, I'm saying the producers knew. It's like
well,
they knew.
Well, Kyle
that-
knew. She told Kyle in the car. And I.
Right.
And I wish that, and not that it's on Kyle, but I just wish that they could have said something like, hey guys, Amanda's
like
here Dorit. Because she's filming.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Let's just, you know, confront her tomorrow.
And here's the thing. It's like, Dorit had every opportunity to just, to stop where it would have made sense to stop and everyone would have understood. She didn't know until Amanda said it at that table.
Right. And then once she said it though.
Right. And then Dorit's like, okay, we can have this conversation later. But did you, what she said, did you like ingest Kyle's opinion that she's had? Because, you know, my friend of 10 years, she sort of stopped. We'll have the conversation later. And she
couldn't figure out what Dorit was talking about, because she was like, what situation?
Right.
I was with Kyle, or like I was with Sutton, because like I haven't been with the two of them together at an event, but I've talked about it multiple times. Like, she was trying to like process it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it was like, Dorit, once she said that, just shut up. It did not make you look good. And then like to follow her out, Kathy's like, just tell, like, she's feeling bad. And then Dorit like doubles down on
and
it.
Wipes the tear away.
Like, don't touch me. It just was, I'm very surprised that Dorit got herself that involved.
I almost feel like, and this is, I don't really think there's an excuse for her to continue on, but I'm trying to understand it. Cause like she came in wanting to confront her about the divorce, the comments about her talking too much about her divorce, which she had known about. But then Amanda came in and did the ghostwriter comment. It always comes back to a ghostwriter. Like, that is like a layup in Housewives territory.
Carol shaking in her boots right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Really, truly the blueprint. But I think maybe that like almost got her into like a blind whatever.
But the delusion I like of Amanda, because she doesn't even know how offensive she's being when she's one-upping her, right? Like, she's not only when she said that to Dorit, she then offended Erica, who had a ghostwriter, and then Rachel, who had a ghostwriter, and both of them are like, okay, well, we're New York Times bestsellers, and like, where's your book, Amanda? And so it's like that delusion of not even understanding the domino effect is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I her book is also self-published, which again, writing a book is an accomplishment. I'm not trying to, but self-publishing is that something that anybody can do? And so,
did you watch the after show?
Oh, yes, I did. I did watch the after show.
So she at one point is talking about how she's in the process of writing her second book, and the after show shows the flashback of her sitting there with her computer just typing, because like she's always working, guys. Like, that's why I'm like, I don't like her as a person. I think she's like a grifter scammer. But the fact that she is this person and we get to watch this is so funny. Like,
you know what?
So
you know, you're right. You're right. Like, I was excited about her because of what you're saying, which like they don't know what to do with her. She's such like an enigma, like ridiculous.
Wrapped in a riddle and cash. Where's all the cash from? I don't even know.
That's really funny. Rich as like, fuck, baby.
it's amazing. Like, I'm just like, who is she? Because she's like, she says too, when she's going to talk to the medium, like, I'm a woo-woo girl. Like, I'm Amanda Francis, as if any of us know who she is. And that's the level of delusion I need.
Right. I think for me, it's just like, I don't even think that Kyle's really an ally of hers, you know? So I'm like, it's going to be great for one season. It's just, she's not, there's no connection for her.
No, Kyle's literally being punished for meddling and not sharing her relationship. That's why she's paired with Amanda on the after show.
I'm dead.
They said, you don't want to share Morgan? You know what? You can talk to Amanda. Mm. it's amazing because if she has a great season, come back. Like, she on the after show does not have any sort of qualms of what she's done. Like, the confidence she has on the after show, which is filmed after the season, doesn't matter. She doesn't, like, she's the same person on the season as she is in the after show, meaning she doesn't think anything she's done on the season is bad.
You're making a lot of good points, Courtney. You are. You're opening my
Again,
mind.
I don't like her, but I like her on the show.
Right. It's like Bose has so many valid points in questioning her business. And what did Amanda says? She tells Bose that she's never been in business. She's never really had a job of that nature. But she does have a gift, quote, for the energetic side of money.
Mm-hmm. Where does one make this up? Like, is this a ChatGPT prompt? Like, I'm obsessed. It's so crazy, the amount of grifting and delusion. I need more.
And she's also like pretending to be confused about why Sutton doesn't like her after she brought up the Avi stuff. Which,
wait,
like,
Audie? Ari? Ami? What's his name? It's like, you know his name. And that is a made-up story.
You know his name. With Sutton, it's like, I'm still frustrated because it's like, she doesn't really want to play ball with Garcelle. She doesn't really want to play ball with Avi. She's being weird and kind of, you know, not saying much about the Jennifer Tilly stuff. Like, she's just kind of like, she's being so careful this season in a way that's like such an overcorrection. And it's frustrating me as a viewer.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of liked Sutton. And I think that it's just really, she is pouncing on the fact that people don't like Amanda because it's letting her be in the cool girls club right now. And so she's like, if I can unite with them and like our common enemy is making me friends with you guys, and I can win there. And if I can course correct for all of these other things, then I can feel like I'm one of the girls here. And all I've wanted to do is be one of the girls. And I'm finally getting that. But then I watch the after show and I'm like, well, she must mess up somewhere because they seem to not like her again.
Very much so.
But yeah. Like, your best friend is Jennifer Tilly. Like, you won. Jennifer Tilly's the best.
I saw a screenshot of, I guess, because I think they filmed the after show in two different sessions.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jennifer Tilly and Sutton are split for the new filming of it. Apparently, that woman Natalie, who we met last night, is in with Sutton and Kathy, or with Kathy and Jennifer. That's like what I saw on Twitter.
All the friends of together, yeah, maybe,
or something. So that's curious. It felt like last night that I actually thought that Sutton and Jennifer Tilly's, I always want to say Jennifer Tilly, I felt
like
their sit down was pretty mature and level headed on both sides. Like, I think Jennifer Tilly, it's funny watching her be flustered. Like, she doesn't really explain herself that well on the after show or in this situation with Sutton. And to me, that reflects maybe that she's not like the, you know, best housewife. I love her personality and her on the show, but also secondly, how much it means to her. And so she gets almost nervous.
Well, I think she just wants to be a friend of, because she doesn't want to be in the drama, but she wants to watch the drama. And then she's like, and then like, guys, I'll show you my like Louis Vuitton. So like, I'll give you the opulence and rich that you guys want. Mary and I think though that she didn't realize that she was being filmed when she vented to Kyle. Like, obviously she's mic'd up, but like, she went to the bathroom and she thought the cameras were maybe staying at the table, and then they caught her and she was like venting, even though she was like, we were wondering, was she mic'd up? They started hearing she was mic'd, so they grabbed a camera to shoot over there, but she didn't really know it was happening because she just was like so annoyed of the situation. Because it looks like they're sitting on a bench waiting to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then she's like, when she's been quote unquote caught, she's like, I don't even know what I said, because it wasn't like we were filming and it was in front of the cameras. I just was like venting that I was annoyed, and I could see why Garcelle could get upset with her if she was put in those situations.
That's a good theory. I mean, that is a good theory. And
because she doesn't seem to really remember what she's like, what are we talking about? Like, what did I say? I'm like, Sutton, you're my ride or die.
Kyle did repeat it differently.
She did. She said that Jennifer Tilly called her problematic. She never said that.
She never said that. She just said she can see why Garcelle wouldn't want to be friends with her anymore.
That's a Dorinda Medler over there.
Yeah, she really, and that's also contributing to Jennifer's confusion. It's like, wait, I said she's problematic. I would never say that, you know?
And I don't think that, like you mentioned too, is Jennifer Tilly's not going to be confrontational. So even when she watches it back, she'll just be like, there's a misunderstanding, and she's not going to like fight back. So it's not even like worth the conversation,
right?
I think personally.
So that's kind of all that I am interested in with Beverly Hills from this week.
I don't mind it, but I will say the fact that Traitors and the Valley Persian Style are also on the same night is Beverly Hills is third on my watch list.
Yes, it's hard. They should have Beverly Hills the Southern Charm or something. I don't know.
Because are you watching the Valley Persian Style?
I am. I haven't watched the full new episode yet.
No, but it's like, I don't feel like a lot of people are watching it, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's like, it's really hard to put it up against Traitors. And I think that they put Beverly Hills up against Traitors because it'll last. It's lasted all these seasons, and I still think it's one of their highest rated shows. And I feel like they put the Valley with it because it's like LA shows, maybe. I don't know. I'm making all of this stuff based on
absolutely
no evidence. And it's like, I feel like it's actually doing them a disservice going up for Traitors, at least with the three episodes, the two episodes. Maybe now that there was one episode, it'll be easier for people to watch. But felt like that wasn't appointment TV as much as
Traitors. No, but I think Traitors is like skyrocketing so much every single year that I almost wonder, like, they are still trying to figure out like the best way to handle it almost.
Yeah.
And like, it is all people talk about for 3 days in my world, on my feeds, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, I built it brick by brick, but.
Right. But like RHOBH, the Valley Persian Style, you see really no commentary about that Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. Like,
I don't think, like, I'll comment, like, on Friday, I'll usually, because I like to do episode, like, recap posts on our
Instagram.
Because I feel like people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's the place to talk about it.
Really smart.
But with Traitors, we can't do it the day after because people get really upset about spoilers, even though it's not my fault that you haven't seen it, but that's neither here nor there.
Or also to say, don't click into the comment section, maybe, you know?
Exactly, exactly. But like with Beverly Hills, we'll put it up, and I feel like it doesn't get as much traction as it used to.
That's a good test case. Does the Valley person, do you do it for the Valley person style?
I did it like a day or two after, and I feel like people were watching it. I mean, there's the interest there of the OGs, and I think the newbies being added, I think that they're bringing it. Like, for me, the OGs, I'm only here for MJ. I don't like Reza. I think Gigi is like, we should go to anger management, but I'm like, want MJ to like live the best life ever, so I'm rooting for her. And yeah. I really think that the addition of all these people who are genuinely friends makes it fun.
Yeah, and they have a lot going on. I think that if people have not started watching that, and also you don't need that. You don't have to watch all of Shaw's of Sunset to watch this show. They do a good job of catching you up on what you really need to know. And I'm into it. But let's talk about Southern Charm.
I can't quit that show.
I can't quit this show, as sort of repetitive as it feels these days. Like, it feels like we're on the hamster wheel, like kind of in a couple season cycle of it, what it you know, dealing with. But it's still kind of compelling to me, and I can't admit otherwise.
Because it's so real, because I feel like Charleston is a small town city, right? And like, they are, I'm not going to say big dogs, but it's so small that I'm feeling like everyone that in Charleston knows what Southern Charm is. And these Real House Husbands of Charleston are the main draw for this show. And so watching them literally fight with each other about girls, business, whatever it is, and it's like frenemies to lovers, I think it's like, God, Craig, Austin, just kiss already. Like, I feel that there's, even though it's this rinse and repeat, it's like also their real life problems that they're dealing with, but it's so small town.
Yes, totally. And like, somehow the show does play into it sometimes. Like, I think with Craig and Austin, that's a big deal. It also is funny, like, we kick off and Craig is, you know, explaining his text to Sally away to Madison. And I'm like,
where do you lie on that?
I mean, it's total BS, but I kind of believe that he believes it.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yes. No. Well, first off, Craig doesn't lie because he believes, he's a storyteller, and he believes everything he says is the truth, regardless if it is or not. Like, he 100% thinks he's telling the truth.
But like, if Sally had stayed over that night, they would have hooked up.
But she did once stay over and they didn't hook up. We thought, had a conspiracy theory, they for sure before the season hooked
up. Me too. That's what I thought.
But now I'm like, but she would have said that already. I think she would have thrown that out there. Like, we've hooked up before. And now she has mentioned she slept over one time. They were in the hot tub till 5:00 and then they woke up the next day and took the golf cart to the country club and had brunch. Right. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I also could see him being like gossiping with like a pillow next to each other on the bed and falling asleep like that.
It's hard because with Craig obviously led Sally on, but then
do
like
you think
the way
so? I don't know if I do think that. It was only for 3 weeks. I'm not trying to give Craig any credit here. I just don't know that 3 weeks makes or break, in the sense that we're talking about a hot tub and then other people were in it.
Yeah, I don't think it's not as big of a deal as it's being painted as, but I just think the vibes were there between them personally. Like, I think maybe it was more fueled by her and less by him, but I think the vibes were there. And I think that like, they've talked about how Craig never really wants to be the first one to make a move, and he clearly wanted her to make the move. So I don't. Maybe it's not as one sided. But I'm having a hard time feeling completely bad for Sally, because one of like the, I mean, even just the her little interaction with Vanita at this party, where she's like, "You're stepping on my dress," like you know, are you mean?
Where
nice
do you
to me?
Sit with the Vanita stuff though, with Vanita and Sally? Because even her mom is like, "Wait, why are you being mean to your friend?"
No, I don't think it's as cut and dry. I just like I see how Sally just like carried herself in certain situations, and like,
oh yeah.
It's hard to feel completely bad for her.
100%.
Like, I think Molly is clocking it perfectly. She's like, Craig is a good guy when you like him, but he's a bad guy when he likes Charlie.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But with the Vanita Sally stuff, yeah, I think her mom was accurate. It's sort of like,
like, there's a weird, it's getting to a level of weird where, like, she mentioned on the after show, she gave Sally a curfew of, like, hanging out with Craig. Mm. And it's kind of like, you're involving yourself too much with the Craig piece of it. Just like, if that's what Sally's going to do, let her do all of that and just say, I don't want to be a part of it. You know, I obviously don't like it, but
It's also sort of giving him fuel to like stay sort of mad at her and be shady to her. You know, I think she's almost giving him the reaction that like he knows that he knew that he would get from her, you know?
Right. Like if she just ignored him, it wouldn't be anything. But it's like fighting the fire with fire is then giving him ammo to be like, well, this is why I don't want to film with you then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, for me, it's not worth it. Like, I want so much for Vinny. I think she's so cute. I think she has such a fun personality and she could be like really great. But when she's focusing over there, I'm like, wait, no. Did you see that her and Carl are both going to London right now?
Oh, they are? I didn't see that.
Well, she posted a story saying, I'm going to London soon. I need Rex. And then Carl posted a photo that he's headed to London. And I just feel like 2 and 2 equals 4 here.
If they're posting about it, it's like, you know,
and I'm rooting for them.
I think it's a cute little thing, you know,
because
I think part of it with Vanita is that like she's on this show and Sally right now is sort of like her point of entry with the central drama, because right now it really does feel like on Southern Charm, it's like Craig and Austin, Craig, Sally, Charlie. They're sort of like the Vanita arm to it. But then everybody else is just sort of like there to comment on it. There's, you know, it's like,
exactly.
Rod doesn't really have that much to do. Molly doesn't have that much to do. Madison doesn't have that much to do. Shep doesn't even have that much to do. I'm just sort of like,
crazy.
I don't know. That's where Southern Charm's a little bit broken to me. It's like these sort of other people, because I do like a lot of those people. I just don't know why they don't have more to do. So that's...
And then I wonder, though, what do they do if they don't have more to do, though? This is their life. But I wanted to ask you, because Sally, it's like, okay, I think you're right when you bring up that Craig probably let her on in the beginning and then nothing happened. So he decided to move on. And then then Charlie came around. And he's like, ooh, somebody new. And he like kind of put his energy over there, which I actually think that Charlie and Craig are a better match, to be honest.
Me too.
And I actually think Sally and Austin make more sense. But I'm like, but Austin has a girlfriend. But I'm also like, does he know she's at the same party with him, even though they arrived together? I feel terrible for Audrey.
I feel terrible for her. She's really a pawn in this whole situation. And like, at first I was like, why are they all so mad at Austin? But then I'm like, no, like he knew what he was doing by bringing her. And because he knew there was talk, he wanted to, you know, make a statement. He is, for some reason, is in denial or just doesn't want to follow through on the tough conversation with her. Even his sister is telling him like, Austin, like she's a great girl, but like you cannot do this to her.
I think he doesn't want to. It's like when Craig had a girlfriend, okay, well, I'll have a girlfriend. Now that Craig doesn't have a girlfriend, well, I have a girl. No, I definitely love her, but like nothing serious. And it's like, well, why do you have the girlfriend?
I mean, I think a big part of it is that he does not want to admit defeat to Craig, that Craig was right about it. And that's a
These lovers.
I loved Shep's comment where he was like, I actually think that Charlie cares way too much about what Sally thinks, just the way that Austin cares way too much about what Craig thinks. And it's like, that is really playing into like what they, how they carry themselves in these other situations that have not that much to do with the person, but.
Totally. Like, and he's got to like prove him wrong. Oh, I'll bring Audrey. Okay, well, you're making it weird for her now. And then you're sitting at the bar with Sally and Sally says something and you're like, well, I'm drunk, so I can't say what I really want to say right now, which is something inappropriate. We know.
And that's also where I'm like, I can't trust Sally fully. It's like the way that she was even just draping herself on Austin, like with the girlfriend at a table at the same bar. Like that is just so, we all know those kind of people, but it's just.
And I want to like Sally so bad.
Me too.
Because, like, she's so beautiful. She seems like she has a lot of fun. She has a great job. She's like taking such control of her life. And then she does these things and you're like, Sally, like you bought chickens to impress Craig. And now all you have are these stupid chickens and no
and,
Craig.
Like, cantaloupe and popcorn.
Yes. And apparently she's given them away already. Like they're gone. The chickens are gone now.
Really? Because, did she say that?
That someone sent us a reel that she had meant that I think maybe it was Charlie that had mentioned it, that the chickens are gone now. And it's like, of course they are.
We're not rehoming the chickens. That's so sad.
I mean, it was sad
to
buy them
in
the first place.
Die in her backyard, I guess.
Like literally in that feed store, once Craig denied, I'd be like, okay, please take the chickens back. I don't need to prove it for a guy. And that was really stupid. And I'm fine with it. Please take them back so that they're homed with somebody else. I don't want them. Just admit defeat.
No, but she
there.
Had to build she could not admit defeat, you know, because she's also walking it back so hard in current times.
True.
Like, and again, there is something about Sally where I'm like, She's pretty watchable, and I think she's pretty good at being on reality TV. But she's not
she's
being
been on
like
a few shows.
She has. And I think that this show could stick for her, but she's not. Yep. She needs to recalibrate if she cares about being likable or not. Like, if she wants to go full villain on us, kind of, like, I'm down. Like, if she, I think that she has that in her as well, honestly.
Well, I'm curious because it's like, it sounds like right now she's got something going on with Austin, like, whether it's a situationship or friends with benefits or if they're in a relationship. I don't know. I just don't think that Austin is someone who wants to be in a relationship. So I'm sure he says one thing and does another because why are men? But I'm curious how that will play into the next season if they kind of, it's almost like the relationship he has with Madison, but that they can't hook up. So like with Sally, it's kind of giving what he has with Madison, except that there could be like a sexual angle on it.
LinkedIn is pretty great at a lot of things, like helping you tap into the latest trends and insights in your field. We cannot stop your coworker from tapping her pencil. LinkedIn can help you find new jobs that align with your career goals. We cannot help you find the source of that weird smell in the office fridge. Ew. And while we can't stop your coworkers from bringing their hobbies into the office, LinkedIn can help you bring your career to the next level. LinkedIn is the network that works for you.
I'm in like a non-Bravo creators Bravo group, like a bunch of people in my life who like watch Bravo and you know, friends of friends. And one of them was like, hey, oh my God, like my work friend is at brunch with all her girlfriends. And she was sitting at the bar waiting for her table. And Austin was sitting next to her and she doesn't even watch Southern Charm. But her friends got there and were like, oh my God, that's Austin. He like gone to the bathroom.
And they were chit-chatting?
She was chit-chatting with him. He goes to the bathroom. Her friends show up. They're like, you stay at the bar and continue just talking with them. We'll be at the table. We'll be at our table. So she kind of had this like impromptu like little date with Austin, like at somewhere in the West Village. And she was like, all right, I gotta go. I'm going to this bar, like gonna go watch the game or whatever, but like come. They all go. And so she was sending her friend who was sending us the text that he was like, hey, what are you up to? Like I was seeing sort of what his game is so, like. And this was a couple weeks ago. So
the texting with the two girls in the West Village from before that they told Shep could be true.
This was like a month ago post Audrey.
No, I know. But they're in the West Village again.
I guess so.
Happening. Oh my.
Things happen in the West Village.
So did they hang out? Like, did the friends come up at some point?
They all met him at the bar after brunch.
So they all pretended like they didn't know her at the brunch place and then all came to the bar together and were like, wait, you guys were at the same brunch place?
I think so. Yes.
That's amazing.
And the
best part,
I think the best part is that she doesn't watch Southern Charm, doesn't care. I don't even know who this girl is. It's a friend of a friend of a friend. But I was getting all the screenshots and it was pretty funny. Yes.
That's amazing. And you know what? I bet he's so fun to hang out with. Like, I bet
so
he's
too.
Like the best time. Yes. Like, do I want to date him? Absolutely not.
No, but you know what? He also has a little bit of a charm, a little bit of BDE in person. He does. He's tall.
And he's tall. And that's always, yes. You know, one of the best personality traits of a man can be height.
They should put that on a pillow, on a needle-pointed pillow.
Craig, take it. You can put it on one of your pillows.
I didn't even. That was a subconscious connection right there.
I got
oh
you.
God.
I yes-ended
yeah,
that.
There
part,
we
yeah.
go. There we go. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. I'm dead.
That's so good. One of the best personality traits of a man is height.
That's perfect. Courtney, last question for you about Southern Charm before we end here. Craig, when he was talking to Sally at the end of the episode, he was like, you got my enemy involved in the situation where he's not involved. And he's like using really strong language about Austin, which is not anything new. He says, like, you believed a guy whose main goal in life is to tear me down. And like Austin was, of course, being extremely messy by running to that sleepover and repeating everything that Craig had said. But like, it's not as nefarious as Craig wants to make it seem.
They're business partners. I don't understand this relationship. Like, they literally are in restaurant businesses together. They have this wedding venue together. Obviously, they don't have like the podcast, which maybe it's because they're behind the scenes kind of guys and they have like a joint business manager that invests on their behalf. But I'm like, the relationship, that is one of the most compelling things of this show because I can't, like, what do you mean he's your enemy? Your full enemy? Like, that means, like, it's not even
that
frenemy. It's full enemy. Like, that's intense. And yet, I don't think he's necessarily wrong. Like, a lot of people, I think, want to put tons of blame. And if we go back, I'm 51% Craig here, too, mm-hmm. because Austin's like smart. He's got most of the people on his side. He's a gossiper. Everybody mm-hmm. like for the most part likes Austin except for like his girlfriend. And so it's like there's also this weird like kind of level of like where Craig has put him on himself on this pedestal, right? Like yeah. I dated Paige and I'm sober and it's annoying to all of them, right? And so they kind of like mm-hmm. want to knock him down. So it's like they're all together. I do think Austin pokes and prods him, and then Craig's the one who snaps and makes a bigger spectacle of things and like says things he should not say. But Austin's like just as much the problem, where he just gets away with it more because he's more liked by the group.
And he's, yeah, I think that's really well said. He knows how to get under Craig's skin, and then he can just sort of.
And then, like Craig will like. He'll like shoot Craig with like a BB gun, and then like Craig comes out with the AR-15. Like
totally, totally. It's like yeah.
Like it's just like it's who? What show was it? Like, one of the Bravo shows was talking. It was Jennifer Tilly, and she said, you know, you just drop the water, and eventually it makes a dent, and like that's what Austin does to Craig. But then Craig's
that
like, well, here's
was really good.
Yeah, and then here's the bomb. So it's like I don't know which is worse, like going straight at it or just slowly
These
chipping
two.
Away.
It's not going to be a good reunion for them, is it?
Well, you were at BravoCon. Did you watch their
channel? Yes, I was there.
Yes, and you could just hear, like, tense. Craig was like, we just fundamentally don't agree on how the other one lives their life. And then you can kind of, which is true, but then you kind of see Austin like, ugh, why is he saying that? Because he's got everyone.
Yeah. they're ultimately brothers at the end of the day. That's the dynamic, and so.
I mean, there's a lot of tension between it. Is it sexual? I don't know. I don't want to encourage it.
You have heated rivalry on the brain.
I do. I can't help it. Yeah. I need season two immediately. I can't stop thinking about it. Did you see also, I think it was the girl that does Meredith, Lizzie Loop is her name. She does Meredith impressions on TikTok. They are excellent. And she did this like heated rivalry version, but it's Craig and Austin.
Oh my God.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Oh my God, I need to see that.
It is. So silly. And just since I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, it is true. There's something.
I mean, if they are game, if they're down at the, you know, we always get a lot of content from the reunions when they come together. I'm saying to Bravo Social, if the vibes are right, get Craig and Austin to do a little, all the things she said across
with the club moment.
Yeah,
yes.
Do it. Do
I
it.
Mean, and that, I think that's what makes that relationship so good, is that they really are such best friends when they can go against Shep together, too, because the three of them, it's mm-hmm. how it works, right? Two together against
yes.
one. And like if Craig can admit defeat in certain areas of like taking himself off the pedestal and like putting himself at the same level of the other guys, then him and Austin can be OK.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know if he can do that.
No, well, he can't because he's so, you know, he's just.
Yeah.
He's Craig. He's yeah. Craig. That's why we love him. That's why we watch every week.
I agree. Courtney, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're not feeling the best, but this is fantastic.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. You know, I could talk for hours.
For hours. You know, we're coming out of some unwanted attention on Threads because of Mr. Ron.
I tried to reply and say, guys, here's what I meant. I don't know if it's going over well,
but you know what?
As Tamara said, that's my opinion.
That's Courtney's opinion. And you know what, Courtney, one, I just love that you always do share your opinion, like just totally unvarnished. Like I have so much respect for it. And two, I love you have really been leaning into like TikTok and Threads and stuff. It's so good. I love all the things you post. And so everybody listening needs to go follow Courtney on all the things because it's great. And you always have the commentary. I love it.
You know, I just have gotten to the age of I don't care anymore. I'm going to put it out there. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. 50 people seeing something or 100,000 people seeing something, I'm feeling lucky that anyone's watching.
But isn't it scary when it starts to pick up steam and you're like, this is reaching the people that I just don't need it to reach, you know?
There's been a few that I've been like, why is this taking off? Or I wake up in the morning, I'm like, well, no. When I went to bed, I had like 200 views. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like so scared.
But then you start to see a couple comments that are just like, nope, this is, I'm actually not going to pay attention to any of the notifications anymore on this one because... Yeah.
You know you've made it when you have people who troll you just for like who you are as a person. And when those comments come up, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, what was it?
I don't
always look at my reviews. Is that it's an unhealthy thing, but I did check it recently. And I got a 2-star review because I called Craig a Peter Pan. And you know what? It's okay. Like, if people don't agree with that factual thing.
What was wrong with the statement?
Apparently, because he wanted to settle down with Paige, that means that he is not a Peter Pan with the rest of them. So give me the 2 stars. I don't give a fuck.
You know, it's, yeah. That's their opinion.
Thanks for the engagement. Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean. It's like someone takes the time to go out and make sure they say something bad about you. Okay. I mean, I follow you. I'm obsessed with you. Like, sometimes I'm like, it is creepy because you posted something 2 minutes ago and I'm like,
No, always. We're always on our phones. I there's no judgment on the quick engagement. No.
I'm always like, oh no.
Give me the quick like.
This is too soon. But I'm like, but you know, it helps go viral if someone likes it immediately. Just doing my job.
Likewise. Courtney, you're the best. Have a great weekend. And we'll be texting.
I'll see you online.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.